Welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional. Our show today is for April the 17th, 2010. We're at the start of our second hour. Man, does time fly when you're having fun. Today, I've been talking about genocide and the destruction of the class of people known as state citizens by the federal government. It was funny in that letter that Richard McDonald wrote that he pointed out that we have... lost my train of thought. He pointed out the... I was going to move on to something else, and now I've lost my train of thought. Oh, he pointed out that for 42 years, somebody realized that it was in violation of the genocide treaty, and so they failed to sign it, that the Social Security number would destroy the class of citizen known as a state citizen. And so, you know, for people to think that the attorneys and the lawyers who write all these statutes and codes, I mean, they have studied intensely, and they have done their homework, and they have made sure that every tense and every I and every T is dotted, every comma is in a place where it's supposed to be, to make sure that they've enslaved us. But there's certain rules that they can't change, like the requirement for a senator and or someone to sit in the House of Representatives, a congressman, must be citizens of their states. Says so right in the Constitution. Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 2, and Article 1, Section 3, Paragraph 3. They must be an inhabitant of their state, and you cannot be an inhabitant of a resident of the United States, the federal district, and a state at the same time, unless you are a state citizen who has his U.S. citizenship as a result of his state citizenship. If you're a U.S. citizen first, you're not eligible to hold office. So the entirety of the government, which is not even a government, it's a municipal corporation, is totally illegal. Oh, God, it's confusing. You know, these fictions on top of fictions and persons and corporations, you know, it really gets to be a mind-boggling twist of reality. I know I got some more callers out there. Let's take a call from Roland in Texas. Roland, are you out there?
Hello, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great, Roland. What's going on?
Oh, nothing's going on. Well, actually, quite a bit's going on in the world. I'm originally from South Africa. I've been in the States for about 20 years, and I have various degrees in economics.
You don't sound like you're from South Africa.
No, I don't.
A South African gentleman that I work with, and he sounds very British by comparison.
Well, I hear that quite a bit. But I came here when I was younger to the States. The thing I have to say is that the bottom line, we can talk about the police. We can talk about what they're doing as far as genocide, which they really did quite a bit of in South Africa, and we all know that the few can rule the many. And the way they do it easily is they have the weapons, meaning if you don't pay your taxes, they're going to come get you. I mean, it's pretty simple. All it is like a big cartel, a large mob in what they're doing. That's all they're doing. And they're organized from one state of office, whether it's Republican or Democrat. They move their agenda on and on continuous while the American people, if we have people like you talking about issues when you die or you leave, who's going to continue those issues? Their families are all doing the same thing. If the bankers die or something, their families continue the same protocol they've done for the hundreds of years. Maybe even at least 1,000 years from what I'm looking at back from the age of Sumeria and Egypt. So I don't really know. I looked at all this stuff and I think, like, what do we do about it? Unless we all get organized and, like you said, get out of commerce, but that has to be a whole. And so many of my brothers and sisters from the States and that I talk to just don't even want to listen to what I have to say about it.
That music means we've got to go back to break. Hold for me, Roland. We'll talk more after the break. You're listening to Positively Unconstitutional.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now, 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional. And we're talking to Roland in Texas. And Roland, basically what I've pointed out to everybody here is that everybody that holds a socialist security card is a practicing communist. And we've all volunteered for slavery, myself included. Yep, I'm raising my hand. Yep, I'm a practicing communist. And you just ask the question, what do I do about it? Well, logically, the thing to do about it is that you have to reclaim your property. Well, what property has been lost? Well, the property that you were born with has been lost through these franchises and contracts, these adhesive contracts that are heaped upon us by the federal government. And so in order to do that, we have to revoke all our contracts with the federal government, and we have to change our domicile. We have to move to being a citizen of the state. And that's easy to say, but difficult to do. And we've illustrated that this can be done with a notorious declaration and a constructive notice with a requirement to perform. And, you know, really and truly, in an intellectual sense, it's very easy to understand that we volunteered ourselves into slavery, you know, without full disclosure, which, you know, if there was no full disclosure, then that's fraud. Fraud vitiates any contract. In order to revoke our contract, all we have to do is say it was a fraud. We then change our domicile into another jurisdiction, and voila, we're without the United States, and we are citizens of the state. And just like that, we can reclaim our property, our God-given inalienable rights, the most valuable property I claim that we're born with. And I believe we've got Jerry Kirk out there in Arkansas. Jerry, are you with me today? What do you got to say?
Yes, Phil. Thank you for accepting my call. I would like to visit with you with your title about genocide that you're talking about today, please.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think is helpful for people is to learn the differences between a state citizen and a federal citizen. And the foundation case, as far as I've been able to find in this country, is Twining versus the state of New Jersey. This is 211 U.S. 78, November 9th, 1908. I will suggest to you that this was the hardest U.S. Supreme Court case that I have ever tried to study in my life, and I really only got a handle on it after I read it four times. Again, I'll mention this is a very difficult case to understand, but the individuals that want to understand the subject matter will put in the time. You have to know the differences according to what the court says is one and one's the other. And in essence, this case, there were two men that did something. There was no argument that they did something. One of the men pled as a state citizen. The other one pled as a United States citizen, you know, federal citizen.
Mm-hmm.
The state citizen was found not guilty because the laws did not apply to that individual, being Twining. Okay? That's the essence of the case, but to read and to get it, you know, it's going to take people a while to read, a number of readings to understand this case, so they can now understand what has been eliminated. With respect to the Social Security number, I'd like to offer to people that the volunteerism that we talk about, we volunteered to do something, in the United States Code, that word volunteer is elect. We elected to do something. So people are, we talk about we volunteered, but when we're trying to figure out how to get out of the volunteerism, you've got to understand that it's the word we elected to do something. In 1997, I revoked all of my elections that were previously made under Title 26 USC, subsection 871, and further with subsections D. And you have to send two letters out, one to the Secretary of the Treasury and one to the Commissioner of Social Security. Now, my actual letters will be going out on a website where I have an offering course going on that's for free. I don't charge anybody. And that is how you get out of your volunteerism through the Social Security number. The real genocide that I would offer to your listeners is the fact that your Social Security number is nine digits and your zip code is nine digits. Simply, we can add those two together and we get 18. Six plus six plus six is 18. Anybody that is walking around in our country today knows that it's impossible to get a checking account, to have a credit card, to get insurance, blah, 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 without a Social Security number and a zip code. So the genocide that the bad guys, the Canaanites, are setting us up for is to take this number of the beast so that we will go to the lake of fire. And, you know, there is no arguing with the Christ. He's going to do what he's going to do. The last thing I'd like to offer as a thought to the listeners is that government is but the enforcement arm of the prevailing religion of the current time you're in. And people might want to think about that a little bit. And I'd like to offer a verse out of the Bible that I have been told many, many, many times by priests and preachers and various other individuals. Sometimes we fail to listen to the opposition. And when we fail to listen to the opposition, we don't understand where they're coming from. This is the verse that has been offered to me maybe hundreds of times. And it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. Now this is out of the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 1. So when individuals are obeying some principalities, powers, and magistrates, they are agreeing and saying, we'll have the vaccines, we'll have mandatory health insurance, we will do what the government says. So the religion of the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 1, exhorts the people to follow the government. If we read what the Christ says, he says, don't do these things. So it becomes very, very controversial when people want to study history. And so I would offer to people that when we remove emotion, because when, like, I learned the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 1, it was very traumatic to me to find out that, you know, this was the religion that's going on in this country and this world. And then I found out, of course, that this, you know, I don't like the federal government. So I offer to people that the more that you research history, and we've heard many times those that fail to study history are doomed to repeat it, we must understand that we're going to run into some walls, to some sacred cows, and it's going to hurt us to find out that, golly, we were lied to. It is those that do due diligence, though, that will not be the genocides, the ones that get destroyed. And it's real hard to wrap your mind around it. But I do appreciate your show, and I hope that the individuals will do a simple exercise. 9 + 9 = 18. 6 + 6 + 6 = 18. And think about the importance of getting out of the commerce you talk about and changing your lifestyle. It can be done.
And I respect Jerry a lot because he's one of the few people that I know who's actually done everything that he's talked about. He's issued the Notorious Declaration. He's rescinded all his contract. He is an attempting servant of God. And you can listen to his radio shows on Thursday afternoons. I believe they're from 4 to 6 on that other broadcasting network.
Yeah, 4 to 5, you know. But
what is the name of that other broadcasting network? I can never remember it off the top of my head.
The Gathering Offering. It's on First Amendment Radio. I'd like to be on RBN, but I only go on once a week, and you know they don't do that on Thursdays. And you know, my heart is really with RBN. I think it's the number one alternative media. I think your show is number one. The only argument I have with you is I think you need to be on more times a week. And, you know, it's very evident by the callers that you attract, the numbers of callers. I mean, you hardly get a chance to even talk yourself. You know, you are the number one show, and I know your wife loves me when I say that, you know, hey, you need to be on more times a week. You know, I know she loves that. You know, but anyway, Phil, I do appreciate your show, and I do appreciate you letting me be able to visit with you once in a while. Thank you.
And I appreciate all the information that you bring on the show and the amount of personal research. You know, I so respect what you've done in attempting to read all of the Supreme Court cases in the United States. Have you ever finished that?
No, not really. And one other thing that, you know, when I say I've read all the U.S. Supreme Court cases, I'm able to do a very fast scan. So certain types of cases, I was able to scan them and go right by them and then go to the type of cases I wanted. So I was specifically looking mostly for jurisdictional cases, fraud cases, eminent domain cases, certain specific areas of what I was looking for, and, you know, picking up, you know, especially like on the IRS and things. You know, I've got a case from a, you know, an IRS agent that refused to give his information to the IRS, and the IRS, you know, they fired him, and you know, and so it went to U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court said you cannot force anybody to give you your information to the IRS. In about 3 or 4 weeks, I'll be bringing out a course or one of my 1 week deals on.
Come back in 3 minutes, Jerry. Just hold that thought.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
And welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional. We've been talking with Jerry Kirk, an attempting servant of God, and he's on First Amendment Radio every Thursday afternoon from 4 to 6. And his archives are available for free. He teaches a course there. It's all free. If you start to listen to one of his radio broadcasts and you query, you know, go to Google and put a query into the subject matter, you should be able to find it, find the documents that he's talking about at Freedom School. I've done this before myself, and he's very informative. He really understands the law. And Jerry, you were just going to give us an IRS case, so go on with what you were saying before the break.
Well, in actuality, in about 3 weeks, I'll be bringing out a significant number of IRS cases, and I'll be bringing out something known as Document 6209, and I'll be bringing it out of a federal court transcript. I'll actually be giving photocopies of the court transcript to help educate folks. One of the problems in our society, Bill, is the U.S. Supreme Court has stated that state and county jails must provide a law library for the prisoners. Mm-hmm. There is no law in this country that mandates that each county have a law library. So the people that aren't in jail yet, they don't have access to the cases. Any of the individuals around can possibly get, if you're in a rural area, smaller county, less population, try and find a law library. And one that you can use. For me, since 1997, since I moved to Arkansas, it's a 2-hour drive. each way to the nearest law library. That doesn't allow for an informed citizenry. And if anybody really wanted to start a movement, we need to have a movement forcing every single county to have a competent law library so the individuals can go look up the twinning case, so they can go look up these cases. Because I will assure you that I've had numerous people look up cases on the Internet, and the cases on the Internet do not reflect the verbiage that is in the law book. There is significant differences, and people have to have annotated cases. Any other type of case is not going to help the individual. So we've got a real informational withholding problem going on in this country, and if people wanted to help themselves the most, they would say, hey, you're required to have a law library so we can even understand what you're trying to charge us with, what you're trying to put us in jail with. Once you're in jail, you can get this stuff, but that's a little late. You know what I mean?
No doubt. So, no doubt.
And listeners might want to think about that. You know, why don't you start writing your congressmen and your governors and say, hey, we're not going to give you any tax money at all until you give us a competent law library so we can know what the heck you guys are trying to charge us with. Kind of basic to me.
And, you know, I don't know anybody who's actually sat down and read the Uniform Commercial Code, or who knows virtually anything about it, and yet all of our law, which is based on canon law, which the Federal Reserve has formed a trust, and you know, this whole concept of honor and dishonor, and to actually put a dollar value on dishonor, it's incredible.
Yeah. Now, and if we'll take just a little minute to, you know, consider something, we have a Uniform Commercial Code. And then we have the Universal Catholic Church. And, that you know, you got the canon and you got the canon. And people don't seem to make that connection. But, you know, that is the reality.
That connection. That's good. Canons of law and canons with bombs, huh?
Yeah. So remember, government is but the enforcement arm of the prevailing religion of that particular time in history. So if you're not happy with your government, you're probably not happy with your religion, but you may not have understood what your religion is. So.
And back to genocide, what I think is going on right now is that the prevailing religion in the world is changing. And I think that there are more Muslims in the world today than there are Christians in the world today, and that population demographics tells us that the Christian nations are not reproducing as fast as the Islamic nations, and that within 30 years, all of Europe will be basically more than 50% Islamic, and the United States, which population from 1970 of Muslims has grown from 90,000 to today, I don't remember what the number is, but it's millions in the United States, I think 9 million or something like that versus 100,000 over 30 years ago. But these people are reproducing faster than we are, and so I think that we're witnessing a changeover in the religion of the world.
Well, I'd also like to offer one other thought to you, if I could, please, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
In the Word of God, the Christ says, "Think not that I come up for any others but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I've been looking for 20 years to find a Bible that where the Christ says, "Think not that I come for any others but for the lost sheep of the house of Christians." So people might want to do a little research on the word Christian also, and I had to do that, and it was very traumatic to me in my mind and to other people that I've discussed this with, but he's not coming for the lost sheep of the house of Christians, according to the Christ. He's coming for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So people sometimes get deceived into a terminology and into a religion. And we might want to reread that verse. And if anybody can find me a Bible that says that the Christ is coming for the lost sheep of the house of Christians, I'll revisit my thinking.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back. And sorry about the technical difficulties there. Our producers do a terrific job for us, but somehow there we dropped Jerry's call. We were talking about law libraries and so on and so forth. And, you know, I've mentioned this before about, you know, should you be able to break free of the system, you need something to make you self-distasteful to the system. So you need to remind, once you do all your paperwork, you need to remind the local municipalities that, you know, should you be incarcerated, that you're going to demand your rights, and that you know about the case of Vernon Bounds and Bobby Smith, and that you'll be able to put pressure on them and make yourself distasteful, so at least hopefully they'll leave you alone. Oh, my goodness. You know, before the break, I was talking about genocide, and I was, you know, making comparisons of demographics, and I've seen the numbers, and it's just staggering how rapidly the religion of Islam is growing. And I think Jerry makes a great point when he says that the government is the implementation of the religion of the day. And we can see this is definitely true in Great Britain, and I wanted to tell that story when I had Jerry on the line, that I ran across a fellow by the name of Albert Burgess, who used to be a constable in Great Britain. And just go out to YouTube and, you know, query that name, Albert Burgess. And if you want, query a case of treason. And Albert has put together, as a retired constable, he got some 30-year-old records from the 1972 era in Great Britain when the Edward Heath government was in force over there. And a friend of his did a bunch of research under the Freedom of Information Act, or the 30-year rule, they call it over there. And they got all this paperwork, and upon reading it, Albert Burgess realized that there was a conspiracy in the British government. And there's a letter, actually, from the Edward Heath government to the Foreign Office asking, if we join the European Economic Community, what will the result of it be? And the answer came back, the result of it would be that the Constitution of Great Britain would be undermined in 3 decades, in 30 years. Of course, it's 30 years now, and of course, their Constitution has been totally undermined. And he has all the 500 documents on a disc that shows how the Heath government committed treason, and he's taken this around to all the constables and all the local police officers and asking them to investigate it and start arresting all of the people who were in the Heath government and who are still in the government who have perpetrated this treason and undermined the Constitution of Great Britain. And I'm sure the same thing happened here around the same time. You know, immediately what comes to mind is the passing of the federalization of the school system in 1974 here. And of course, we know about, and I've talked about this before, the whole CO2 thing coming up after the Edward Heath government was unseated in England in 1974 by the labor union for the coal miners. And of course, in 73, we had the oil embargo. And so carbon dioxide producing coal and oil became very politically incorrect because it had the force to overthrow governments. And so Margaret Thatcher came into power in England and decided that she wanted more nuclear power so she would not be dependent on and at the mercy of the British coal miners and the Saudi Arabian oil producers. And with that said, I'm going to take a break and take a caller. I've got Lark out there in Texas. Lark, are you with me today?
Joe, good morning.
Morning, Lark. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. Let me turn the speaker down. I apologize.
No problems.
I think I've got it. Well, this is a very interesting discussion this morning. I wanted to see if I could lend something that might be of interest to you and your listeners. First of all, are you aware of the website, The Pope in Red?
Yeah, I think I took a look at that last week for just a minute. I didn't have a lot of time to focus on it, but go ahead.
Well, essentially, you can make your own mind up. Again, it's just simply thepopeinred.com, and it talks about what happened in 1958, where the duly elected pope by the cardinals was actually overthrown, and he was essentially kept in incommunicado until the day he died. And of course that ushered in Pope John Paul II and of course Vatican II. I thought that might be of interest to any Catholics in particular out there. But the people that essentially disregarded the ruling of the, or the election of the true pope, were really an assemblage of Masons, Catholics, mafia types, and Jesuits. And of course, we have to always remember that the Jesuits were founded by Ignatius Loyola, the Society of Jesus, who was a Jew. George Bush's church, the Presbyterians, as one of your callers alluded to, was actually founded by John Calvin. And I'm just throwing a few things out there just for your...
Tell me the founder of the Jesuits again. Ignatius what?
Loyola.
Ignatius Loyola was a Jew?
He was.
Huh. I had no idea.
Yes, and the reason that and of course the Jesuits, or the Society of Jesus, they claim to be the protectors, quote unquote, of the throne of Peter, or the white pope, the pope in Rome. So keep that in mind, and there's a history behind all that. There was a, you know, during the time of the Inquisition, many Jews were forced to convert to Christianity, or they lost their property and they were essentially deported. And so the Jews at that time had the, and don't forget, the Jews were very instrumental in during the time of the Reformation, because really it was many Christians as well as Jews who were railing against the Catholic Church and the power that they had, especially over the monarchies of Europe at that time. And don't forget, it was the Jewish banking syndicate, which has been around for millennia, that essentially, and especially as of 1823, they controlled the Catholic Church, or the Vatican's wealth. As well did they control, eventually, the wealth of governments and as well of the monarchies. So that's an important point of history. The other thing to take note of is that the first pope, Constantine, was also a Jew. The first pope, Constantine. All you have to do is just look up the Nicene Creed, N-I-C-E-N-E, C-R-E-E-D, and then also take note of the controversy of so-called Arianism, A-R-I-A-N-I-S-M, during the time that that Nicene Creed was put into effect during the reign of Constantine. But just to get this on the record, Phil, if you will indulge me, continue, if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely. This is fascinating to me. I mean, I had no idea. And, you know, I was going to make a statement earlier about history. And the more I delve into history, the farther down the rabbit hole we go. This Albert Burgess guy that I was just talking about, he has a little thing about the kings and the, you know, the history of law in Great Britain and consequently law in the United States. But it all came together in my mind when I realized that King George was, you know, or the Catholic Church is a part of the British government. And of course, you know, they separated church and state here, you know, by law. But of course, you know, our law is created based on British common law, and the British common law, that, you know, the church has always been a part of the government.
Well, always bear in mind, when you hear that word British, it's very much akin to that word Brit, as in B'nai Brith, because British actually means the covenant people. And so we have to ask ourselves, well, what is the covenant? Well, the covenant is, as it's understood today, is actually the Jewish covenant, which is an Old Testament covenant that the tribes of Judah and Benjamin claim that they're the only ones that have kept that original Old Testament covenant with God. And therefore, they have the right to rule. They have the divine right to rule. So what we are witnessing today is when we talk about, when we take note of the fact that, in fact, communitarian law, which emanates, of course, from the supremacy of communitarian law. You can do a search for that, supremacy of communitarian law. And it's been a part of the fabric of our country and the laws of this country for at least 25 or 30 years. We have to remember that this is essentially nothing more than part of a long continuum. We can even begin with the Fabian Society, chartered by the Crown in the 1880s. A lot of things happened in America in 1880 following the Civil War, and of course the 14th Amendment and so forth and so on, and we could go on and on and on. But the truth is since the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946, that plethora of laws has simply evolved into something that now is all superseded by the so-called supremacy of communitarian law. And communitarian law is nothing more than really, in essence, Babylonian Talmudic law. Because this is the law that was promulgated through the centuries via the oral traditions, from the so-called elders of the Judaic faith. And so we also have to take note of other historical wrinkles, like the introduction of the Scofield Bible. And by the way, Cyrus Schofield once was a preacher right here in Dallas. The Dallas Theological Seminary right here in Dallas is a probably the world's leading proponent for this kind of law. So when we talk about the Protestant faith today, around the world, particularly here in America, they have essentially been Judaized. And you can discover this for yourself by some other links that I'll provide. And one of them is a YouTube video just to introduce you to the topic, and that would be called Regions of Saturn.
And it talks about Regions of what?
It's called Regions of Saturn. S-A-T-U-R-N. And that's basically it takes a look at, it's narrated by William Cooper, Bill Cooper, and it takes a look at the book by Jonathan Williams, which was taken out of the Library of Congress sometime in the 80s, I believe. But the book was called Legions of Satan. But, and then just to tidy this up, because I know you have other callers, I apologize. But take a look as well at the Noahide laws. The Noahide laws. Just do a search. N-O-H, like Noah. And then also take a look at Education and Sharing Day, quote-unquote. Education and Sharing Day. And there's a fascinating book that you can read for free online by Helen Peters, which is purportedly a fraud or a fake, but is unimportant to me, because if all you did was read the prologue and the epilogue of that book by Helen Peters, I can't think of the name offhand, but you can find that book at congregator.net, C-O-N-G-R-E-G-A-T-O-R, congregator.net. And what we're talking about here is something called British Israelism. And you can also find reference to that topic called British Israelism in the 1940 Congressional Record. But all of these links I'm happy to provide to you personally, and there's a whole lot of discussion that can go forward about this, but communitarianism, of course, as we've discussed before, is, you know, to simplify things in our minds, it's really nothing more than corporatism, or what we used to call fascism, as well as communism, as well as socialism. So nobody could make up their mind what they wanted. Well, heck, I even heard a congressman quote this just a few years ago. He essentially said, well, a certain group of people have ruled the world for several hundred years and perhaps longer, and so we might as well throw in with them. And this is the real fight in America today. The fight is really with the people not understanding what's going on, as opposed to the members of our government and the hierarchy within its bureaucracy at the various levels, all the way down to the local level, that really do know what's going on and are simply just going with the flow, because what it is they want to do is prevent bloodshed. Because these people really are in control, and we're talking about the communitarians. We don't have to say Jews. We don't have to say Zionist. We don't have to even say any of these incendiary words anymore. The truth of the matter is the only word that we need to know that we should oppose is communitarians, communitarian law, and communitarianism. And when we understand what this is, we don't have to be demonizing people. We don't have to demonize Zionists, because Zionism is just as much a Christian phenomenon as it is a Jewish one.
Excellent. So communitarianism, you're right. I mean, it has communism right in the word. It's another one of those isms that has been skillfully hoisted upon us at the municipal level through the municipal leagues. And through this facilitator who goes, you know, behind closed doors in private meetings before the public meetings and arrives at a consensus so that everything in the public meeting can just be a lay down that we've arrived at a census, this is the new rule. We've arrived at a census, this is a new rule. And, of course, what you have to understand about communitarianism is it is an extreme form of collectivism. And it basically says that the individual should give up his rights for the good of this abstract group.
And, everything emanates from the law of contract, and people like Jerry and your other listeners are absolutely right. We must examine our individual contracts. We need to rescind them, nullify them, or just walk away.
You're listening to Positively Unconstitutional. My caller today is Lark, and we're talking about communitarianism right now. We've got to go back to break for 3 minutes and 3 seconds. Man, time flies when you're having fun.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
If you've ever used Yaz, Yasmin, or Ocella for birth control, you must listen to this important notice. The FDA says these drugs may cause serious heart and health problems. If you or a loved one took Yaz, Yasmin, or Ocella and developed any complications, these pills may be to blame. Call Phillips National Injury Group to protect your rights. If you suspect these drugs may have caused a serious injury, this announcement is for you and your family. Yaz, Yasmin, or Ocella may cause deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary heart attack, stroke, or even death. If so, you or your family may be entitled to significant compensation.
For legal help with the effects of Yaz, Yasmin, and Ocella, call the Phillips National Injury Group at 800-358-8063. That's 800-358-8063. Injured by Yaz, Yasmin, and Ocella, call 800-358-8063. Attorney responsible for this advertisement is Phillips National Injury Group with offices on 20 East Thomas Road, Suite 2600, 26th floor, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. Admitted in Arizona and California. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, cases of this type may be referred to local counsel for principal responsibility. This is an advertisement and a paid announcer.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then FreeToProsper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit FreeToProsper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit FreeToProsper.com today.
Welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional. This is our show for April the 17th of 2010. We've been talking with our caller, Lark, for the last few minutes here about communitarianism. And, Lark, if you can, tell us, how do we fight this? You know, it seems like they've managed to divide and conquer us by distracting our attention to all these petty quibbles, while they routinely just change the rules as we go along here.
Well, I can explain it to you in just a quick half
Yeah, we're down really, to the last 5 minutes of the show, so you got to make it concise and quick here.
Well, what I would suggest people do is truly understand the Hegelian dialectic. And the best tutorial that simplifies it the best that I have found is simply do a search online. What is the Hegelian dialectic? H-E-G-E-L-I-A-N. If they will simply
tell them that Hegel was an author, and he wrote a book, and...
Several.
Basically, if I can summarize, you have a thesis, you take the antithesis of that, and you come to some third middle ground.
But here's the important point to remember about that. You have to apply this understanding to your own thinking processes, your individual thinking processes. Because if you look to your own thinking processes, then you will determine that what you are inflicting yourself with voluntarily is what we call, or what I call, a tyranny of words. That means you have to lay a foundation for your life as to what words have real meaning and which rule your life. What is your personal covenant? You follow me? Or contract? So it's important that we understand how the Hegelian dialectic works and how we see how politicians and media people skillfully employ the Hegelian dialectic to constantly keep us at each other's throats, while their masters behind the scene, which of course is the monopoly capitalists, especially the bankers, the international bankers, this is what they employ to keep everybody off guard.
You know, and I think about that term, international bankers, and I think to myself, the Treasury can make its own interest-free money. Why in the world would we ever need an international banker?
Well, this is all fraud.
Every other country can make its own money.
Well, I think that, you know, personally for me, I think the real solution is that we have to walk away from the current paper money system. And the biggest obstacle we have is most people have some kind of a home, whether a rental or they have a mortgage. This is the principal contract that we must overcome. Because really, if we want to get by in the world, and we had a home that we didn't have to worry about paying taxes or a mortgage payment or rent on, then most people would get by just fine. They could trade. They wouldn't need money. They could barter.
So life, liberty, and property. All you need is the freedom to do what you want to do and to be able to own property without somebody else being able to steal your property at the point of a gun for some tribute, when they're supposed to be protecting your individual rights, when in fact the government is constantly destroying your individual rights for the collective, for the group.
And stealing your property.
Well, we're out of time. Another week is gone. It's April the 17th, 2010. Stay tuned for Todd McGreevy and Common Sense Revisited. You're listening to... My name is Phil Pozderek and the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thanks for all our callers, Lark and Jerry and everybody else out there. I'll see you next week on Positively Unconstitutional.
Introducing